to Electrician Live with your host, Paul Abernathy and Jay Brunberg.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Electrician Live. My name is Paul Abernathy, your co-host, and with me as always, my co-host all the way from Colorado, Mr. Grunberg himself, the Basement King.
What's up?
Welcome to the show as always, Mr. Grunberg.
Thanks for having me, like always, man. I'll tell you what, down here in Colorado, you can feel the fall weather coming.
It's
cold.
Starting to get there, huh?
Yeah, I just had the sprinklers blown out today.
Ah.
Already, yep.
Wow.
Because it's already getting freezing on the weather conditions. You know, they're already sending off those alerts that we're starting to get freeze zones. So he's got to take care of that, I guess. So, got that knocked out.
Oh yeah, well we're luckily not there so far. Okay, we're not there right now when it comes to what we've got here in Texas. We're not that cold yet. Let's put it that way. We're not that cold. Thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Something about the cold, man. It just comes in and a dress warmer. I never really minded it though. In the cold, I always made sure I had a good pair of long johns and a couple of jackets and maybe even a pair of Carhartts or, you know, the coveralls that you'd wear for the outside, making sure if you're working outside, because man, during my apprenticeship, I did a lot of outside work in this winter.
Yeah. Well, as we saw over on the Sparky Hub, we saw some of your attire that you wear, some of your nice Carhartt professional looking gear and everything. I just noticed I got an orange background and an orange shirt on tonight, and it puts a nice little black
double orange, maybe
black little halo around me. I guess it's the October, everything's orange. So, oh, he's gone. He took off. Hey, want to shout out to everybody over in the stream. Over, we thank you, Mike, and Lost Treasure. Thank you for coming. You're most welcome. We appreciate it. Says thank you for all that you do. Well, we appreciate it and always love educating the industry. So interesting thing, Jay, so that people know that we're multi-streaming tonight. So bear with us. This is the first time we have ever streamed on the amount of platforms that we're streaming on right now. So we're on, what are we on? We're on YouTube. We're on, I think it's working on YouTube. I see some people posting on YouTube. It's on YouTube. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on, I'm supposedly Instagram, but I have no way to verify that. And YouTube are normal. So that's the five platforms. Of course, you can always watch also over at electricianlive.com. Okay. So, again, everybody knows I like to push my equipment to the limit. So we'll see what happens. So,
now are those just the video streams? Yeah. You're still doing the podcast live on.
I forgot about that. So yes, the podcast is going as well for those over there listening over on the podcast, over on electricianlive.com. Again, hey, majority of the people listen to our podcast. What's that?
I said, what's up, podcasters?
Oh, yeah.
We don't ever
really
give them a shout out as much as we probably should. You know, podcasters, they're dedicated, man.
That's true. The podcasters, definitely the people listen to the podcast. And I have been slacking lately. I have not done as many podcasts, but there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to get back into it and get them cranking out there. And we got videos we got to get cranking and everything as well. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
the live stream is supposed to be over there. It's supposed to work. But, you know, it's it says that it's broadcasting over there, but where it broadcasts on, I have no idea where it broadcasts over there. So I have no idea, but you know, that's the one we didn't know would work or not. So to be honest with you, I didn't know if the LinkedIn, yep, because Instagram really doesn't have a platform that allows this kind of streaming. So you got to use a third party to do it. And so I didn't think it would work, but we're trying. But we should be on all the other platforms. We just kind of threw the Instagram one in there to see if it would work. As more come available and more options to stream, we will stream it and try to get it to everybody so you can listen to it or watch us on your favorite platform. My favorite platform, believe it or not, is still with the YouTube platform. But again, even politics aside, with Google and YouTube and all that, it's still where I like to listen to and watch most of the videos and stuff at that time. So, all right, Jay, so everything's good in Colorado. Oh, we lost your audio again. But I think he said everything was good. And for us here in Texas, everything's been good. We got some storms the last couple of days. I'm sure other people around the country are getting those as well. But we got some pretty heavy storms. There you go. I think you're back.
There we go. Wow, what a weird, you know, again, when you, it seems like we're trying to go on a lot of platforms. And then when one thing goes down, it just is like a trickle effect, you know, it's like, oh, darn. But if you don't go big and you don't try to hit those platforms and all that space out there and get to all these viewers that can listen to our show, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, how are you going to ever get to everybody? So
it's creating Electrician Live on a bigger footprint. And we see there's a lot of people out there doing it now, getting into the game. So that's good. We've been doing it for quite a while. So education is good. Teaching is good. So what's the topic tonight? What are we talking about on tonight's show?
Yep. Oh, so right. Tonight's show, we are going to be going over a hybrid cable and looking into one of your inventions for Encore wiring.
Yeah, Encore Wire. So, so what we're going to do is we'll talk a little bit about it because people are asking, what's the big deal about it? Why is it a patent? Right. Why is it what it is? So a little, you know, we'll talk about that tonight and let you see it. If you're not familiar with Encore Wire, and you can have, you can have your desire for all different flavors of manufacturers. However, Encore Wire is one of the leaders. Again, they're traded on the NASDAQ. The ticker is WIRE. So everything is public. You can see everything about the company. It's not a private entity where you hide stuff. It's everything's in the public domain. Our CEO is the CEO and chairman of board, Daniel Jones, a wonderful guy, and has led this company for quite a few years now. And I'm blessed enough to be a head of their codes and standards division. And they allow me to do what I do, obviously, with the Electrical Code Academy, but also, during the day, I wear the Encore Wire hat and still wear this hat, by the way, but which seems to offend people.
Of course.
But they have no problem with it where I work. So, so if you if there's a lot of different manufacturers
of wiring cable. What does that hat you have on say?
It's pro,
no, what does it say on there? So they can
pro life, pro God, and pro gun.
That's right.
So and people ask me, they say, "Well, Paul, aren't you worried that offend people and they'll stop watching you?" If you're that shallow, that a hat or posting a beanie on your YouTube Facebook channel causes you to not like somebody just because that's the problem with everything that we have today. Where you can't disagree or you can't have an argument or somebody posts something and your panties get such a wad that it causes you to immediately hate somebody, then that's where we have a problem. The whole concept was that people could have different opinions and disagree, but when it comes to something that we mutually agree with, and that's the code and teaching code and understanding code, then all the other stuff doesn't matter. But sometimes people can't separate the two. And you know what? I feel sorry for them. So,
Yeah, I would say, and if they're electricians, maybe they should look into jumping ship to low voltage.
Plumbing.
Maybe a plumber. I don't know. Again, us
the mechanical guy.
Still
I don't know.
Have a title we have to hold.
I think electricians for some reason seem to get their butt hurt a lot quicker than most.
I know they do.
I'm not sure. But anyway, so again, so that's what we're going to kind of talk about a little bit. I'll tell you the history of it, where you could use it, where you might want to use it, and why you'd want to consider it, and why it's a patent versus can you get a patent for something like that. And so we'll talk about that tonight as well.
Yeah, because when
people are asking about it.
When I see it and you say hybrid, it makes me think of multi-use then. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like you can use it one area, maybe in another, maybe in a few, maybe more than two areas. I'm not sure. But when I think of hybrid, I think of something that you're taking two things and kind of combining into one.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's exactly right.
You know, anything usually. So I'm interested in finding out how I can use it.
Sure.
In the applications I do.
Okay. Yeah. So let's kind of talk real quick. Let me tell you a little bit about what it is, and then I'll tell you a little history of it. Then we'll kind of show you some a website. We'll show you a little bit about it. But I think most electricians will understand the concept of the two products that created this hybrid product. But in order to tell you the backstory, I've got to tell you what the product is, kind of so you understand it. Then I can tell you why I did what I did. So
sure.
So a lot of electricians out there are very familiar with what's called service entrance cable. It's a gray sheathed cable assembly that is used inside of multifamily dwellings, used inside of dwellings. It's used, you're used to what you see, the SE flat with the two conductors and the helical. That's typically from the weather head down through the meter into the panel. Of course, in the 2020 code name, yes, we're going to have an exterior emergency disconnect, which could also be a NEMA 3R panel. But at the end of the day, that's what you'd have on that point. And when you're going downstream from that to a remote distribution panel, or what you like to call
a subby, bruh.
Yeah. So that would be the SER. U is unguarded, is what U stands for. Style USE. Not USE. Style SE, the U style. That was unguarded. A lot of people think that means underground. No, SE cable can't go underground. All right, USE can, but SE cable assemblies are above ground products. But the U is unguarded, and it comes from a time back when everything, so AC cable came out in UL4, and that was back at the turn of the century, right, thereafter. And then you had UL1569, which was MC cable. That is an armored cable. Or, some people will argue that that's a guarded type of cable. Well, then you came along years later and they came up with one that's very similar, but they call it style U, unguarded. So then when you have four conductors and an equipment ground, which is what you need for all remote distribution panels, what you need now for ranges if you're going to use SC cable, and what you need for dryers, you need four conductors. That's called SER. And the R actually stands for round. Okay? So those are two styles. Where can you use SER? Well, I can use SER, for example. We'll stick with that one, SER, four conductor. You can use it, again, like I said, to ranges. You can use it to dryers. You can use it in remote distribution panels. You can use it on the load side of your service disconnect. I mean, as you put that emergency disconnect outside under 230.85 rule now, but then you come pop through the wall and hit the panel, which could be a main lug only now because your service disconnect outside, then that would be right. An SER. That would be an application where you'd use an SER. So there's different applications for that. But where you can't use an SER is you can't use it outside underground. You can only use it above ground.
Hey.
Right? So, and in some applications where manufacturers make an SER, it does not have a CT use rating on it. You can't use it in a cable tray. Now, some may produce it that way, some do not. We do not currently at Encore Wire. We do not produce it in a CT rating. Now, That's because people will typically want to put tray cable in a multifamily building. They want to start running all these SERs and tray cables for cable management purposes. Because a cable tray is not a raceway, it's a supporting system, right? But you can't put SER in it unless the cable the SER is actually rated for CTUs. And that is not a requirement under UL 854 for that product. So that's something that the manufacturer has to choose to do if you want to put it in that application. Now,
right.
So that's an SER product. Again, it's basically people ask me all the time, well, so what's the difference between an MC cable and an SER? So if we had a black, red, white, and equipment ground and an MC, and you black, red, white, and an equipment ground and a SER, what's the difference? Well, obviously one's in an armor and one is not, right? But the inner conductors, right. The inner conductors are exactly the same. It's the same inners. THHN, THWN-2, it doesn't matter. It's the same inners. XHHW-2, the same inners. So when you have SER cable, you are limited to its application, right? Now, yep. When it comes to tray cable, TC cable, TCER, okay? And when you're using that type of tray cable, it also has its limitations. For example, tray cable, if people that are familiar with tray cable, basically it's like an SER cable with the, you know, the gray that you see with the conductors in it, and it has the fiberglass wrap, and it has the thin 30 mils gray sheathing. Tray cable TCER is almost identical to that, except for it doesn't have to have the fiberglass. And that's called a binder, by the way. And that's between the conductors and the outer sheathing. So it doesn't need that. Also, tray cable's sheathing is usually twice as thick. So it's not as thin as an SER cable. All right? Okay. So, but other than that, they're almost identical. What makes them problematic in their different usage is that tray cable cannot be installed on the surface of a building like SER can. Tray cable cannot run through the building, with some exceptions for where you have signal and power and control, things like generator applications where it's a unique for one and two family dwellings. But in the general rule, you can't just use it in a building willy-nilly. Even though it's constructed just like SER, I mean, it's thicker sheathing, it should be more robust. You can't do it because the code won't let you, right? Even though it's probably more robust than you would see with an SER, the code won't let you. So that was a problem, right? So tray cable can only be installed outdoors, underground, if it's direct barrier rated. It can be installed in a cable tray. It can be installed in a raceway. And it can be installed on a messenger. All of those requirements for the use of cable tray under 336 of the NEC. That's fine. So when you have these two separate products, you have the cable, a TCER, and then you have the SER. So they're almost identical. The only difference is SER has a thinner sheathing and a fiberglass wrap binder, and tray cable, the binder is optional, but the sheathing is thicker. The inner conductors are exactly the same. Okay, so I've kind of, electricians should know this, and if you're not, and the reason I wanted to explain it like this is because I realized we had the podcast folks, and it wouldn't be fair, even though I'm going to show some images here in a little bit, it wouldn't be fair to the podcasting folks. So I wanted to give you a understanding. Aaron's at it again. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. We will definitely, and I still owe you a book. He did tell me to send it to Jay this time, so I would have put it in the last package I sent to Jay, but I think he told me after that, didn't you, Jay, or something? After it was that, you said, just send it to you. So I'll send it to you.
Yeah, we talked about it, because once we get it, I'll head over there and deliver it myself to the good man, Aaron.
Personal
Thank
delivery.
You, big bro. Love there you the go. Support.
Appreciate you. So there's two different usage. Okay, so painting that picture, if you worked with SER, you know what it is. If you work with tray cable, if you haven't worked with tray cable, just think of it. All it is SER on steroids. It's just a thicker jacket. And the jacket material is different compound. different compounding construction than the SC cable. Okay. It's a little harder. It's not as soft as it is for the SCR. Okay. You with me? All right. So those two products, but if you didn't know any better, they look identical. If you didn't know any better. Now, one of the big differences is that everybody thinks that tray cable has to be perfectly round. It just says it has to be rounded. It doesn't have to be perfectly round. Okay. But it is still rounded. That's subjective to people, right? Very subjective to how people look that. But again, it's other than that, they're pretty much very similar. Okay. All right. So I've kind of laid the foundation here. So SE cable, SER has its specific use. TCER has its specific use.
Yep.
But people used to come to me and say, can I use TCER inside of a building to feed a remote distribution panel? And it looks and walks and talks like SER, but you can't because the code says you can't. Now, I've worked hard in the last two cycles to expand the use of tray cable. And it is now expandable for use in feeders and service applications, and that's good because that helped my hybrid cable. So now let me explain. So what I did to create a hybrid cable is that I combined a tray cable and an SER together. So I took all of the attributes of a SER and all the attributes of a tray cable, put them through the testing for UL1277 and UL1569's crushing impact. Then we ended up putting UL854 for SE cables. And then all of the stuff gets tested to UL2556 and everything in order to create what's called a hybrid cable. That hybrid is both a tray cable and an SER. Okay.
Wow.
So that's kind of the foundation for that. So I'll get back to that and show you some applications there, but let me go on and show you why I did it. So for years, I would go to meetings, and if you're familiar with everybody, all of the manufacturers are members of an organization called NEMA, the National Electrical Manufacturers Association. The National Electrical Manufacturers Association is made up of many manufacturers. We all contribute. We all put in a certain amount of income into NEMA based on our gross sales as a manufacturer. That's how they choose who pays what. And NEMA has our best interest. That's what they're supposed to have, their best interest of the manufacturers at heart. But again, we care about the community and what products they're getting used, and it makes sure that everything's tested and everything's on the up and up. Okay, so that's kind of NEMA's thing there with that. So we would go to meeting after meeting, and I would be trying to convince people that, you know what, SER and tray cable are basically the same thing. In fact, tray cable is more robust in the crush and impact and everything that it has to meet, the same as MC cable. It is more resilient than it would be for an SER. And they go, well, why will you need that resiliency? Well, how many times have you pulled an SE cable through gussets, through ceilings, or pull it and it rips the jacket? And then you have to worry about how to repair the jacket. The tray cable one, the hybrid, is thicker. It has the same thickness as a tray cable, but it also has the fiberglass binder as you would get in SER. It combines the two. So you get the benefits of a more robust cable, less potential for damage to the sheathing. And if you damage the sheathing, dragging it over gussets or something like that, then you could damage the inner conductors. It's easier to pull. And all those type of applications, you've got to say, well, that's the reason why I would want to use a hybrid cable for that. So anyway, I was sitting at these meetings, and every time I'm trying to push tray cable, everybody that's my opposition, this is our other competitors, either they don't make tray cable or they don't make it, and they don't want us, our company, to get one leg up over another company. So you have, let's say, one company that all they make is MC cable. They don't want another product coming onto the market that's going to compete against their MC cable. And of course, we at Encore, we didn't care, because guess what? We make MC cable. It don't bother us.
Yeah.
We want whatever the customer can use. That's the one beautiful thing about Encore Wire, is that we produce products and it's whatever the customer wants. We don't place one over the other. If you want to use SER, go for it. You want to use MC? Go for it. If you want to use our hybrid, go for it. You have to look at the benefits. You have to look at what's going to benefit you, right? So I got tired of constantly having people lean over and say, you know, Paul needs to look at the margins, or Paul needs to look at this, or why is Paul pushing this over this? And there was always a reason. Other manufacturers would argue it and not expand the use of trade cable because it might hurt a competitive product of theirs. That's not what we're supposed to be doing at NEMA, but that's the way it would little, you know, things would, you know, this little system of the good old boy type system. So everybody knows me. I buck that system. I've always been anti-system like that. If you say left, I'll say right. If you say up, I'll say down. If you say no, I say yes. So in this case, I said, well, how do I get
that a rebel?
Yeah, that's right.
We call that being a rebel.
You know? Yeah, as a I'm a rebel or troublemaker. And so what I did was I said, you know what? I'm going to circumvent you all. And what I did was come up with a product and have it tested and get the listing and the patent. And I'm the only person on that patent because I'm the only person that believed in that product. It took me 5 years to convince people that that was a necessary product. And here's why it's necessary. Let's say I want to do a transition, Jay, from a house to a detached garage. How many times I can tell you, I get a call and somebody says, I want to use simple SCR, and they go outside and they call me and they go, can I put SCR in the ground? And the answer to that is absolutely no. Not. You cannot. Not based on its 854 UL listing, but also not what it says in 338 as well, or what it says in 338. It is above ground product, okay? So with the hybrid cable, you can go from point, oh my God, my brother's in the room, wow. Okay, I've always been that way. Uh-oh. All right, some stuff's liable to come out tonight that I probably don't want to come out. All right, so at least my other brother's not on here because he could probably tell you some stories. So anyway, Chip could probably tell you. Don't y'all start asking Chip questions. All right, so I lost my train of thought.
Tell us everything, Chip.
No,
let it all out.
So
come on, Chip.
So look. So SCR cable, the hybrid cable can go down and run out of the building. Down the wall, because SCR can be mounted on the surface, but tray cable cannot. It runs down the wall, and then it can go straight into the ground, underground, over and up to the detached structure without any splicing. Because that product is just like a THHN-THWN-2, for example. It's a dual-rated product. It has all the attributes of this product, but when you put it in this environment, it has all the attributes of this product. So it truly is the first of its kind that would allow you, basically, it's an SCR that's rated for direct burial or a tray cable that's rated for use indoors when normally they aren't rated for that. So rather than fight everybody and everybody telling me this, I said, forget it. Why don't we combine the two? And that's what we did. And, you know, I remember when I submitted it to UL and all this stuff for them to review it and, you know, and non-disclosure and all this stuff, they said to me, why didn't anybody ever think of that? And I'm like, because I don't come from a wire and cable background. I'm an electrician. You know, that's the way I approach it. So I was like, all right, and I'm a code guy and I worked for NEMA. And worked for jurisdictions, and I want what's good for the electrician. I want to give you options. I want to give you things that you can have choices to make your job easier, solutions. So that's what I came out with it. So it's patented. So you heard it right here. If anybody else ever comes out with it, now I don't know. It depends on how aggressive somebody wants to defend a patent. But you know, if you go look it up, I'm the only name you'll see on that patent. And it's the hybrid cable. You know, so what does it look like, Jay? You want to see? Everybody want to see what it kind of looks like?
Yeah, I want to see it.
Let's kind of go and let's see what it kind of looks like here. Okay.
When I think of joining two, you know, two and one, you think of double the size. So I'm interested in how big it is.
Okay. So here's the thing. If you look on the screen, you'll see that it's available in copper and aluminum. And you'll notice that it is exactly the same footprints of conductor sizes as you would have for an equivalent tray cable or equivalent SER. So basically, if you're looking for an SER, it's just a little bit bigger because the jacket's bigger. But the inner conductors are exactly the same, right? So it's going to have all of the same characteristics. Going to fit. Oh, here's the other benefit. Oh, here's a big benefit. Here's a big benefit. Tray cable connectors are hard to find. SC cable connectors are not for SER, and they're usually adjustable clamp. So let's say I'm going outdoors and I transition indoors. Well, TC cable can't transition indoors unless it's in a raceway or a cable tray or something like that, but not with this product. It can go straight up through and into the building. And then once it's in a dry location, once it's inside the building, guess what? It's no longer TCER anymore. It's SER. So you can use a standard SER clamp. So
that's nice.
Yeah, that's the benefits of it. It's kind of like when I tell people with PVC jacketed MC. When I tell people, I say, well, look, when the PVC jacketed MC is in a wet location, then if you were to make a connection in that location, then the fitting would have to be rated for a wet location. But if the cable assembly itself was just in the wet location and then it came up into dry locations, then you can strip off the PVC coating and just use a regular MC connector. You don't need to use an MC connector if the location where you're making the termination is a dry location, right? So it's kind of the same concept here, is that I can utilize it as either or, depending on my condition of use. Now, let me show you here. So we'll do the copper product. Kind of give you an idea. So this is a copper product. Now this is on Encore Wire's website. You can go check it out at EncoreWire.com, and you'll see the products. And you click on the products. Okay, in that application. Now, some people, all right, so we got some questions coming up. They're talking about the use for parking structure in concrete. Well, what you have to look is the ratings of, it's going to carry, the one thing Elwood is somebody that, for those that are on the podcast that are listening, and again, we're streaming on five different platforms, your limitation is going to be still within each one of those groups. So if you're using it as TCER, then the uses permitted and uses not permitted are going to apply. So your answer about in concrete, it's still got to meet all the uses .10 and .12 sections of that specific article for uses permitted and uses not permitted. So it's not going to change anything. Whatever the product is that's being used in that environment and you're using it as that product, all of the uses permitted and not permitted applications. For easier understanding, if you're using it as TCER, then you treat it as TCER and you follow all the rules within the specific code article for tray cable, right? Simple enough? Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So if I was in... Go ahead.
I could have used that a few years ago when we were doing... a multifamily dwelling unit where we went URD underground. And then when we poked into each unit, we had to do a outdoor weatherproof box. And we would just do a splice point there with the URD and then the SER going to the actual main lug panels in their garages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now Elwood says he's talking about PVC coated or PVC jacketed MC. PVC jacketed MC can be put in the ground. PVC, the actual PVC material on it, if you look at the allowances in .12, and if it's got that impervious covering, and it does, that's the extruded PVC jacketing, and the conductors inside of it are rated for wet location, it most absolutely can be used in those parking application, parking structure applications. Perfectly fine for that application. If you're talking about PVC jacketed MC, and I'm assuming that's what you're quoted on. So just remember, you're still at the, if you're using it as, if you're using the hybrid cable as a tray cable, follow all the rules in 336. If you're using it as an SER cable, wherever you're using it, follow rules in 338 of the NEC. And you can't go wrong. Okay? Apply that same concept. Okay?
Got a bug. So when do I, when does Encore Wire send me my 1,000-foot roll?
Oh, your sample?
I need it in, yeah, let's say a number 6, 6, 4 conductor. So I'll do that. And we'll all just keep it all copper.
Hey, I bet. All right. So for folks that want to find out more for it, about it, you're going to go to, you know, you're going to go to uncoilwire.com. You'll see the products button. You click on it and you'll see a button that says new products. All right. If I click that button, incidentally, you know, this is going to sound funny, Jay, but all the products you see here, and I don't have them all on the screen, vertical run MC, that's so you can run horizontally. I mean, vertically, straight up, I see vertical run, I said you can run horizontally. Vertical up and down a building, that's one of my inventions as well. And both of these are as well. The MC LED, people have heard of that out there with the low voltage, 0 to 10, in with the power NC. That's also my patent. So I've got quite a few patents. I don't make a dime on them. If anybody's, that's the next question people ask. They always go, do you make any money on these patents? The answer is absolutely not. When you work for a company, the patents become theirs. They're not yours. Your name is on them. And then sometimes we add additional people if they had some kind of contribution to it, whether they did something for us, we will add them to the patent as well. It's not a problem. In fact, the more people we can add, the better. It's just for the hybrid cable. Nobody really believed in it. They didn't understand what electricians understand. Now it's going crazy. But, you know, that's kind of one of those things where I said, I told you so. If you think about the use, if I want a more robust jacketed product than an SER, this is what you go with. This is it.
Right.
Because you're going to use it as an SER, but you're going to get a more robust jacket. If you're going to be pulling those multifamily buildings and you're going to be pulling it up and you're worried about it ripping or damaging it or whatever and having some inspector come and say, how are you going to repair that sheathing? Which you can repair the sheathing. You can't necessarily repair a damaged conductor. I know you wrap it in electrical tape, but some may and may not accept that. As far as a manufacturer, we won't accept that. So you own it. You bought it. You can do what you want. But if it fails, don't expect anything from us, because once you take insulation off of a conductor, you can't put it back, right? But you do right. What you want, because you buy it. But when it comes to sheathing, we can give you a recommendation for how to repair jacketing that gets ripped. And that would just be like a 3M type of jacket repair product. And it would be fine, because that's just the sheathing. That's just the jacket. But the hybrid cable is so much more robust than that. And so, as you can see here on the screen, it's available in 6-gauge through 4-0. So it follows the same sizing criteria of SER. Now, people say, well, why doesn't it follow the same criteria as of a tray cable where it goes all the way up to 1,000 kcmil for tray cable or higher? You can't, because it's a hybrid product. It's got to meet the rules of SER, and it's got to meet the rules of tray cable. Well, SER only goes up to 4-0 copper, 250 aluminum. So it can't be bigger than that in order to be a hybrid product. Okay? So it's very much in this application. There's nothing and also something that's different with ours is you'll notice on all of ours that we'll also put TCER JP. Now, people ask what the JP means. You ever ask what that JP means, Jay?
Of course. I was just going to ask you that.
So JP means joist pull. It's been put through a joist pull test. Not required to be on all of our tray cable, because the only one in the code that's required to have a joist pull application for it is when you're looking at the code and you're looking at the applications. You'll see that there's a specific application in 336.10 item number 9, and that is using it in 1 and 2 family dwellings. And that is for when you have both power and control. That's like you have power to a generator, but you also put the controls that turn it on and off and send signals to it.
Yeah.
All tidily, nice and neatly in one cable. Then that is when you could use a tray cable in a 1 and 2 family, but it has to have both power and control. Now, I've been arguing, and I put in a code panel provision, a public input to say, guys, why does it have to have power and control? And that was part of my argument. And I kept fighting these people, even code panel people, fighting them. And they go, no, 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 that's not. So what did I do? I just went around them. I created a hybrid cable. The hybrid cable gets past this limitation. It can be run in the house because inside the house, it's SER. Outside of the house, in the ground, it's tray cable. Isn't that beautiful? And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I was like, to take a, you know, I was going to say an old country boy from Charlottesville, Virginia, but it wasn't very country, you know. But again, it's people, if you think about the usage of this product, it'll measure the amount of usage that you could get out of the product. You know, people ask me cost. I'm not a cost guy. But it's not dramatically different when you weigh the benefits that it'll bring you, right? So it's really one of those applications where you could stock this and you could actually, Jay, use this for multiple applications, right? You know how people will buy classified breakers, so they got a breaker for different manufacturers. Eaton puts out those classified breakers. Yep. And, you know, for replacement and repair, it's fine. Not for new installation. It's got to be listed for the product. But then for replacement, you use classified. Your service guy, you stock your truck with classifieds, right? Because you're doing service work. Well, same concept here. You can have this hybrid cable, and you can use it as SE. You can use it as TC. You can use it outside as direct burial. Maybe you don't want to get PVC jacketed MC. Well, you use this instead.
Yeah.
So there is different, but we love selling you PVC jacketed MC as well, and some specs call it. So, but that's the thing about Encore. That's the thing about our CEO. Is the vision that he had is when he gives me this ability to do these things, it's and gives our company these ability to do these things. He's like, look, we're going to sell MC cable. We're going to sell PVC jacketed MC. We're going to sell SER cable. We're going to sell the hybrid cable. We're going to sell all these different types of products. And because that's what the consumers want. Some companies will only make certain things, one or two things. And so they want to fight expansion of any type of new ideas because they want to make it within their realm. Well, that's kind of not what our vision is at Encore Wire. It's not. Now, we don't get into tools. We don't get into tuggers. We don't get into all that other stuff. We are a building and wire cable manufacturer. That's it. That's it. It's all we do. We don't make fittings. Yep. It's all we do is make tons of wire and cable, practically run 24/7, 365, and can hardly keep up with demand. We just built a new 750,000, Jay, 750,000 square foot warehouse to help store our material. And we have over 2.5 million square feet under roof. It's over 400 plus acres campus in McKinney, Texas. So it's amazing. It's like the Disneyland for wire and cable. If you're ever out to McKinney, Texas, look me up. You know, maybe if you want to get a tour, I can give you the personal tour. But it's amazing, amazing facility. Okay. No cameras, can't come in, can't let you record nothing, but you get to see it all. It's just an amazing campus. I'm very blessed. You can almost eat off the floor in this facility. That's how. And all that direction comes from the top. I'm serious. That's Daniel Jones and our VPs. And we have 5 levels in our company. You have the people that make the products, right? You have supervisors. Yep. You have managers. You have vice presidents. And then you have the top. Okay? So, again, it's very concise structure, and that's just, you know, kind of how it works. And so that's just the product. So again, that's the usage of the product. You have any how about any questions that you might have? Does anybody have any questions out in the that are watching? I'm not really watching all the other streams, Jay, so I don't know if anybody has any additional questions.
I'm kind of trolling them, but I was thinking, I was going to ask you, when I know you were talking about how you're thinking about putting it in play, and other manufacturers or other people ask you why didn't they think of it? So when you thought of it, from the time that you started doing testing on it and everything, how long did that process? How long did that process take?
Well, for a manufacturer, for example, we have a multi-million-dollar test facility for one. Okay, EncoWire has I believe it's $13 million test facility on our campus.
Jeez.
And so it has a flame chamber. It has all our diagnostic labs. My office used to be over in there. Now I'm over in corporate, which, you know, it was kind of missed being over there where the action is for that part about it. But so with the testing is, we already make tray cable, and we make a lot of tray cable. I mean, a lot. We already make SE cable, right? So when it comes to putting it together, we kind of already knew we had to make sure that we created a product that if we want it to be a TC, it's got to meet UL 1277. If we want it to be utilized as a SE cable, it's got to meet 854. We already knew this. So what you do is you construct the product and then you put it through the tests. First test, put it through all the tests that you'd have to put it through tray cable. If it passes, great. Then you put it through the same tests for the SER or SE cable, UL 854. If it passes, now you have a product that has passed both. Now, also, you have to make sure that you construct it in accordance with each standard. Now, that's unique because SE cable requires a fiberglass binder. I'm sure you've all seen it wrapped in fiberglass around the individual inner conductors. And then, of course, they're plexed. And then you have the binder. And then you have the extruded sheathing over it, right? Yep. That's that one. So when you make a tray cable that's also can be an SER, you have to make sure that you use that fiberglass wrap as well in the hybrid, because that's part of the construction of an SE cable. Obviously, in a tray cable, it has to be part of that construction as well. So we had to do that. And then, of course, test the two. And, of course, the sheathing is a little different on the hybrid than it would be on a standard SER. Right. So you get more flame retardant properties with the TCER because it can go in a cable tray and traditional SE cannot, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you test it for that, then you'll get it the CT rating. So it already is a more enhanced sheathing that we put on that hybrid product anyway. And it's smoother and it pulls better and it doesn't get caught on sharp edges like the looser type of jacket that you would have with an SER. I mean, each product has their place. There's a place for SER, still is. And there's a place for tray cable. This just melds the two so that you can get the best of both worlds. That's what the hybrid cable does. In a nutshell, that's exactly... what it is. Now, Robert brought up something. He says, parallel it. One of the things that's inherent with a cable is that when you parallel cables, usually the equipment ground is only sized for the overcurrent device that's typically sized to protect that single cable assembly, whatever those conductors' ampacity rating is, then you would have the overcurrent protected device would be sized to protect it, and the equipment ground is based on the overcurrent device. When you start paralleling cables, now you're trying to get more ampacity because you're trying to create a 310.10 G application, or it might have been H in a previous edition. You're trying to get more ampacity by paralleling, electrically connected or joined these cables at each end. So both phase A's and both phase B's are connected together. So you're replicating a single conductor, but you're doing it in parallel. And you have to meet all the characteristics, same length, same insulation type of each set, each phase of a set all has to have the same characteristics. Okay, that's fine. But when you do that for ampacity, Now the overcurrent device is going to be larger. Well, the problem is the equipment grounding conductor that's inside that single cable has to be full-sized in each cable assembly in accordance with 250.122, right? If you look at A.
Right.
Okay, so it's not going to work. Good news is, if you ever put it in a cable tray, you do some allowances in 250.122F2 that you could utilize. So look under 250.122F, and you might see some ways around that. Of course, I've helped many people with that have kind of gone, oops, when they bought a standard off-the-shelf MC or standard tray cable, and they're like, oh, crap, I'm paralleling it. What do I do? And then the first question I'll say, is it in a cable tray? And they go, well, yes, it is. Have I got a solution for you? But so we'll help them out. But yeah, so that's your inherent problem with running cables in parallel is the equipment ground usually not size larger. Now, can you get them special made? Absolutely, you can get cables special made. You can get MCs with an oversized equipment ground for parallel applications. Perfectly, you can. There's going to be lead times because that's not the norm. And then the next question people say, well, why don't manufacturers just make these cables for parallels? Heck no. Think about that. There's so many overcurrent devices. There's so many different paralleling options. How would we know how to standardize a cable for your option? Otherwise, we'd have to carry so many of them with so many different size equipment grounds. We don't want to do that. We're going to sell you a standard MC, a standard tray cable, a standard hybrid cable, a standard SCR. If you want something special, then you'd have to special order it. Unless you're putting it in a cable tray or something like that, then we have some options for you. Okay. Other than that, you're kind of stuck with what it is, whatever the size is inside of the cable assembly itself. All right. So, hey, Jay, we got to go to the code turd. So we've got our code turd. Where's my music for the code turd?
Code turd of the week.
Code turd of the week. So we're going to go to code turd. Got to go to the code turd. For everybody that left us, didn't get to see the code turd and Jay in his code turd hat. All right.
That's right.
So as we see here.
The party's not over yet.
Yeah, don't leave. We still got to spin the wheel. We got to spin the wheel. All right. So here on the screen, you see the code turd of the week. Now, Jay sent this to me. This is another one from our good old electrician. And that dude has or whoever that is, seems to certainly are able to find very good turds, okay? So this is an example where I think anybody could call out this turd. So this is outside air conditioning units, and there's your disconnects. And they're using, obviously, that is yellow, so they're using 20 amp 12 gauge. We don't know what those nameplates are, so we can't comment on whether or not that's sized right? Minimum circuit ampacity, maximum overcurrent protection, we don't know. What we do know, here's what we do know. We do know, one, this is a wet location, right, Jay?
That is indeed a wet location. You are outside.
That is outside. In fact, I don't know what that is. It looks like slide there in the background. So that is definitely outside. First things first, with non-metallic sheath cable, that is a dry location only product. It's designed to be in the walls. And I should get a shameless plug for the Encore Wire podcast. Because this month, October, I did a podcast with my co-host. I have another co-host, Jay. Don't get jealous. My co-host, Kevin Porter. I know, Kevin Porter over at Encore Wire. We have a podcast over there. In this month's podcast, we talk about the use of NMB in buildings under construction and can it get wet and what's the limitations that manufacturers. So we give it to you from a manufacturer's perspective. So go check that out. That is over at anchor.fm/Encore Wire podcast. Okay. So that is anchor. anchor.fm/Encore Wire podcast. And you can listen to that. And it's a great episode where me and Kevin talk about all these little things that are involved in that. So that is a a great podcast we're doing over there that's very specific. And thanks, Uncle Wire, for letting us do that podcast for all of our customers. It's going to have a lot of great topics in that. So check that out. Just another great podcast to listen to. All right. So except for applications, hold on for a second. Except for applications where you have a building where you're running it through the studs and it might get some rain on it. That's no big deal. As long as it doesn't get into the end of the cables and get into the boxes and you're okay. It's no harm, no foul, because ultimately the location is going to be a dry location in the walls, right? In this case right here, it's never going to be a dry location, ever.
No.
This is a wet location, and NMB is not rated. It's not listed. It's not evaluated under UL 719. Now, we do put it in water for 24 hours. We don't, but that's it. Okay. It's not rated for this type of environment, long-term exposure. Okay. So that's a no-no. So that would be a 100. It's a wet location. This is not a wet location product, right? 110.3B, installation and use. This is not the intent. If you were to go to Article 334 and look at the uses permitted and uses not permitted, this is not the intent of using a non-metallic sheath cable. Now, I know people will say, Jay, wait a minute. It's got a black conductor in there. It's got a white conductor in there. And it's got an equipment ground in there. Where's the harm? Where's the foul? Well, it was never evaluated for this exposure. Okay. I could take steroids and get really, really big. Right. But my heart's still going to blow up probably in my 30s if I was doing it younger. I mean, okay, just because I can do something doesn't make it okay. God, it's a bad analogy, but I got to watching these bodybuilder stuff the other day. I'm sorry. It just came out. Last couple of years, these guys are dying like flies. I'm just everywhere. Steroids, you know? Anyway, sorry. I mean, I take...
Do you think that this guy may have only had that type of cable on his van or his truck, or maybe the homeowner did this? Where do you think...
Where I want to be honest with you.
As an inspector, did you see this?
No. First of all, I'm pretty sure this probably didn't get inspected. Secondly, I was hoping that this is temporary. Just getting somebody like over a weekend or a holiday or something, getting something wired up so that they could have some cooling or something. Let's pray. Let's hope that's what it is. But there's no way if an inspector ever passed this, his license to be an inspector should be ripped away. Ripped up, burnt, and he should be run out of town. You know what I'm saying? It should never happen. Okay. So also, just so you know, the conductors that are inside of this non-metallic sheath cable are usually TW or THHN equivalent. So they're not necessarily rated for the environment that they're being exposed into. Okay. All right, so anyway, this is a installation use issue 110.3B for the product. That's not how it's to be installed. Next is 110.12B, integrity of electrical equipment. The integrity of the electrical equipment, not just terminations, but the actual integrity of the product as well. We do not know how long. This does not have UV protection ratings on it. It's going to be exposed to sunlight. It's going to slowly start to break down. And it's going to expose those conductors. And again, it's going to create a potential problem. Not to mention, this is a field day. If I'm looking in that background of that picture, and I can't really tell. You have the full picture you probably have. That looks like a slide horse where kids would play. And I'm thinking kids playing that. I'm thinking them seeing these spaghetti-looking noodles over here. And next thing you know, they're over there pulling on it or doing something on it. Just, you know. Not good. Okay. Next, use is not permitted again. So if we want to get more specific on it, it's 334.12B. Use is not permitted. Not permitted in a wet location. It says dry location. This is obviously a wet location. So there you go. That's another one that you'd cite if you were the inspector. 334.15B, protection from physical damage. Now, again, very subjective, always subjective. But in this case here, obviously it's not being protected behind the units. It's not being strapped to any of the refrigerant lines or anything. So you can make an argument that you would destroy the lines or the piece of equipment before you'd ever damage the cable. Here it's just swinging out in the middle of nowhere and is subject to physical damage. Okay, you're not running it close to the surface of the building. This would not qualify as a whip because it's not to a luminaire within a suspended ceiling. So that's not going to qualify. So that'd be a problem here. So you'd have to. Now, the next question people say, well, Paul, I'll protect it. I'll protect it, Jay. I'll sleeve it in Liquitite. Well, first of all, Liquitite is not a product that is protecting something from physical damage. That doesn't qualify. That's not rigid. That's not IMC. That's not Schedule 80 PVC. That's not RTRC. That is just Liquitite. It can't be subject to physical damage. So it's under the same boat as that NMB. Plus, so that's what you can't do. So next question people say, well, that's no problem, Paul. I'll just run Liquitite, but I'll run it over along the building surface. Okay. But I'm going to use this NMB and I'm going to strip off the sheathing and I'm just going to put the conductors inside of it because they're already there, Jay. I've already got it on my truck. You can't do that either because that product inside of it, the conductors do not have markings on it. And so you can't use a product inside of a raceway that doesn't have the markings on it per the UL listing. You can get away with it with a product like this because the markings are on the outer sheathing of the product. And that's the way it's designed. So you can't strip it out and use it inside of a raceway, okay, that application. Okay. Now, people ask me, can you do that with MC, like with a transition fitting and a sealing down an EMT? And the answer is yes for that, because the conductors inside of MC have the traditional marking on it. They're just basic THHN, THWN-2 conductors. They have all the markings on it, that type of scenario. All right, so that's that. And then, of course, in this case, 334.30, there is no securing and supporting here at all within 12 inches and every 4.5 feet. Obviously, this isn't going to qualify as a whip under the allowance for that because it's not going to a luminaire. So, and it can't be there anyway. So this is one big turd. So any electrician who does this needs to go on, get an envelope, put your license in the envelope, lick it and seal it, and send it back to the jurisdiction where you got your license. How's that? Just send it in.
There's nothing, there's no exception for the floating NMB.
Floating, there you go. That's a public, that's your public floating input, NMB. Public input for the 2026 cycle. Floating NMB.
Floating NMB. Yep. That's funny.
Yep. So at the end of the day,
you would hope that that was a temporary installation, but just by the look of it, I can tell those AC units are probably pretty old.
Yeah, they don't look brand new. So I was like, let's hope that it was a temporary thing or something. But I don't know, man.
Oh man,
they look pretty gnarly from what I could see. And of course, I've cropped it down a little bit to put it in here. So, okay. So that's it. Do you see anything that you would mention about it other than this is not something that I would expect wired up electrical design to do, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say
what?
Hold we on. Haven't done anything like that, but I'm just, like that's that? Not my installation. Okay.
Like that? He said he's not going to sit there and tell me they haven't done anything like that. I'm like, that?
I'm just going to say, I hope you haven't done anything like that.
Don't do anything like that. Now, you know, here's I'm going to be an advocate for my brother here. Not the chip, because he took off, I think. Todd, he would argue and say, look, if this is in the middle of a weekend or this is something emergency or something, like, you do what you got to do. And I agree with that because Article 590 of the NEC allows me for temporary wiring to use NMB in some of these types of applications exposed. But that's not, we don't know that's what this to be. And that doesn't look like it's brand new installation. You know what I'm saying? Chip said he's still around. He's still around. All right, so I thought you'd ran off on me. He's like, dude, I had brothers at home that were always electricians. I'm done with this electrician stuff. But no, he's still hanging in there. So at the end of the day, there's no reason anybody should do anything like this. All right. Is that enough of the code turd? We got a spin wheel. They got to end the show on some giveaways.
Yeah, let's spin the wheel. I know that if that was our install, though, I would have taken some non-metallic liquid tight from each disconnect to each unit.
Would you have put the NMB inside of it? Because that I have seen on inspections.
I would have, right. And what happens is, no, I've seen it both ways. Would I have done it? No, obviously not. I'd probably just put some UF or THHN, THWN in it. But I have seen it to where when I was working for guys as apprentices, they would want us to score the sheathing on the NMB about 3 inches lower than where it came through the connector in each box, you know, to make it look like it was a THHN. The only bad thing is the
it didn't have the markings.
Ground is there's bare. No marking, and then also the ground is bare.
So it's a dead giveaway.
Now that I think about it, at the time, I didn't really realize what they were doing. You know, they were trying to cheat the system is what they were doing. But now I see it, like, if I was an inspector, I'd be like, come on, dude, seriously, like, pull that thing out and go get the right stuff. Go to Home Depot and go get a 10-foot run of THWN2, THHN, whatever's listed for that location, you know?
Yeah. So that was always the funny thing when I was head of jurisdictions and they would call me out to a job. The electricians would cringe because I usually, if they called me out to the job, they gave them a violation on that. It would be 110.3B. When I left, there was about 10 different things just for that one thing. And then, so you can imagine an inspection, it was only like one or two or three violations, ended up being 20, 30 violations because I'm writing everything down. Everything down. So at the end of the day, it was, you know, hey, fix it. Franklin's in the house. Right. He says that it would have used UF in adaptation. Yeah, I would use UF. The only argument somebody could use for UF, again, would have been if it's subject to physical damage. But there's a certain way you could have routed it that would have mitigated that. And then it's subjective. And I'd rather have that argument being subjective than not at all. Me, personally, that same argument is if I use liquid tight, if somebody's going to argue that it's subject to physical damage, again, liquid tight can't even be in a location where it's subject to physical damage. So I think that gets mitigated when it's behind the units like that, because it really does protect anything from physically damaging it. Right. And so at the end of the day, we have to use a little common sense. So that's where we see a lot of people that have used UF. They run it down and with the refrigerant line over and they say, look, it's no more subject to damage than anything else in the system. And most jurisdictions cut them some slack. I certainly don't want to see people running rigid IMC. You know that's just ludicrous, right? So there is some allowances here. We have to be able to accommodate people's installation, no doubt. All right. We're running a little over tonight, so let's spin the wheel. Aaron, we're going to spin the wheel, and I'm going to add it to whatever, you know, the list of whatever I've got to send you. So, you know, so here we go. We're going to spin the wheel and see what we got.
Let's
again, in order to spin the wheel, you make a donation, anything $4.99 and higher, you get a chance to win some of our swag. We got new things coming. But what they're trying to win was either one of our little lights here, our goodie giveaways there, boom, 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 you know, the nebulizer. You've got the screwdrivers. Okay, the metal screwdrivers. You got our custom stickers that I designed. Got a bunch of them. This is just
three,
but there's a bunch of other ones. What else? I'm missing something. Oh, keychain. Oh, the LED keychain lights.
Keychains.
These here. There you go, LED keychain lights. We're thinking about getting some carabiners. Key holders with the Electrician Live and Electrical Code Academy on it. Carabiners with a strap for your keys. We're thinking of doing that. But anyway, that's that. What else am I missing? Screwdriver Mini Key. Oh, and we got a free month sub. Not from Subway, but a free month sub to our members only area, which, you know what? We know what we're going to do. We're going to do, because Aaron, would you even use the sub? But anyway, I will say for the next person that donates, if you donate while we're doing this right now, I'm going to change that free month to a 1 year and we'll spend it on a 1 year. Okay. So Aaron, we'll do you a 1 year. We'll add it 1 year. And if you want to donate it to somebody, you can donate it to somebody. Might give it to Jay because, you know, his time's probably running out. All right. So let's spin the wheel. Let's see what we get. Screwdriver. There you go. Jay, nice. Did he have a screwdriver on his list?
I'll have to cross-reference the last one. Let me just take a quick peek at the last one we had. It's right here.
Aaron, unless you want two screwdrivers, they are pretty neat little screwdrivers. I will say that. They're all metal.
Let me just take a quick
peek. They're all metal.
A whole year subscription. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I know. Nice. It's the smallest swatch of the whole wheel, but hey.
Okay, so far Aaron has the signed book.
Yep, signed book.
He has a sticker pack.
Yep.
And he has a screwdriver.
All right, let's spin it again. You don't want two screwdrivers. We'll spin it again.
Come on.
Unless he wants two screwdrivers. But we'll spin it again, and you let me know if you'd rather have the two. Either one, we'll spin it again. Keychain light. He doesn't have one of those.
Hey, there we go.
Woo, keychain light. Stop working. There we go.
Write that down then.
Damn cheap keychain light. Stop working.
He's going to send you that one too.
Yeah, I'll send you a keychain light. And a book. Signed book. And I was going to send you our special large podcast sticker. Very limited supply of those there, unless you go buy one on our website, electricianpride.com. All right, guys, was there anything else, Jay? That's all the spinning we got?
No, so we actually, did you get away from it, or do you still have it on?
What?
The wheel.
No, why? We got another spin?
Well, we're gonna do O a solid because we kind of messed up.
Oh, is he in the room tonight?
O's order. I think he was in the room.
Let's go back. So, let me tell you what happened. My shipping department, aka my wife, put your address on the mailer and forgot to put your apartment, and it came back. So I'm going to resend that out to you, but we're going to give you a free spin tonight to get you something else. And so for our apologies for that delay. So we're going to spin it for you. You ready?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh, yep.
Ooh, LED light. I don't know what his list of items are. Oh, I think you already have an LED light. Boy. We're going to spin it again. I think you got an LED.
Let me see.
I think it was an LED light.
Oh, it has a sticker.
LED and sticker pack.
And the LED light.
So we're going to spin it again, oh.
If you get the blue keychain, I'll throw in the hat.
An LED light again. He gets another spin. Man, he's getting some spins now. Ooh, keychain light. Look how close he came to the free month. All right.
Man, he was close.
So write that down, Jay. I gotta add
a keychain.
Oh, he already have one? No, he had an LED light and sticker pack. Now he's got a keychain. I think that's what he's got. All right. Let's get back here where we're done the spins. We spun it all out tonight. Again, as always, we appreciate those that donate. The donations allow us to get additional things to give away and covers the shipping to send the stuff to people. We appreciate all of you joining us. Everybody that's over on the podcast, everybody that's over on LinkedIn, over on YouTube, the normal bunch, and Twitter, and it says it's going on Instagram, but I can't verify it, and somebody said it wasn't, so I guess it's not. I don't understand that whole thing. Anyway, where else? TikTok. I don't have enough subscribers on TikTok to allow me to stream on TikTok, so hey. Get the word out. Go to TikTok and look for Master the NEC and subscribe. Get our numbers up there. That way they'll let me stream on TikTok.
That's right.
Does people even go to TikTok? Okay. Oh, the Encore Wire podcast. It's at Anchor, ANCHOR.FM/ Encore Wire podcast. Okay. And I would type it in for you, but I can't type in. My option doesn't let me type stuff in. So, ANCHOR.FM/ Encore Wire podcast. And all one word. Okay? Okay? The world's end is near. Paul has an actual TikTok account. I do have a TikTok account, and I don't even understand it. And you know what? And I haven't even got on it doing this. When the sun goes down on my side of town, the lonesome feeling goes to my... I don't do that. So, you know. Whatever. So, all right. He says, I'll take the year sub. I bet you would, but you're going to have to donate again and spin the wheel. I'm just saying. All right. Folks, thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate all you students. We had a great exam prep last night. Jay, what is it? 3 hours we went last night? I didn't even have a clock up. Just 3 hours we went last night. It is available over in the membership if you want to watch it again. It's over in the membership if you're a member, a subscriber to the website. So if you're a Fast Track student and you missed it, you're one of our Fast Tracks learners that are learning the NEC, then go into the Fast Tracks forum over on the Sparky Hub. We don't promote that enough, do we, Jay? www.thesparkyhub.com. Post and post and post and post. And why is O writing upside down? So, anyway, I think that is it. I think is that everything?
Well, they can also go to electricianlive.com and check out our next 4 weeks of topics. Let me just make sure.
Oh, yeah. Updated, next four weeks.
We have 3 more weeks of topics. So October 21st, we're going to be doing, for you commercial guys out there, securing luminaires to a ceiling grid.
I'm going to answer that question.
And so much more.
I'm going to answer that question on that episode of whether or not if you put a luminaire troffer in a suspended ceiling, do you have to secure it to the grid if it is independently supported by guy wires or supporting wires? We're going to dig into that, and I'm going to explain that to you. Go all over chapter 3 and be able to explain that to you so there's no doubt. What's another one? What's the other one?
Then the following week is October 28th. So that's the week of Halloween. So we're doing the Halloween special.
Halloween special.
You guys get to call in and tell us about your job site horror stories or what you've seen, what you've heard, things like that. So you guys get to call in that episode. And
that's an annual thing, right? We did that last year. So it's kind of the same thing. Spooky year. Call in, tell us your job site stories.
I'll be dressed up. I'm not sure about you.
No, I don't dress
up.
But
I will be.
I don't dress up, bro. This is it. This is it. What else? What's the other week?
So on November 4th, it is what is the proper way to establish a GES for mobile homes versus job site trailers?
That'd be a good show for y'all to check out because I'm going to explain what you do when it comes to grounding at mobile homes and how it differs from manufacturer homes or how it may differ from a job site trailer and things like that. So we're going to go over grouting and bonding, the schemes that you understand it. And that'd be a great episode as well. Man, that's some good episodes coming up, dude.
Yep.
Share it. Let everybody know about Electrician Live and let them know. Again, we're on so many platforms now. You can listen and watch on any platform that you want, and you get to enjoy it. We hope you enjoy it anyway. So,
yeah, heck yeah.
If you want to learn the NEC, check our website out, masterthenec.com or electrocodeacademy.com or .net or .org, and check out the Fast Tracks program. Watch some of our videos. If you want to learn the NEC, that's the way to do it. I think that's it for tonight, Jay. Everybody out there, we appreciate you. Till next time, stay safe. God bless.
You're listening to Electrician Live with your host, Paul Abernathy and Jay Brunberg.